Hello, I'm Rosie Perez, and you're listening to Food Fridays with Leonard Lopate on WNYC and WNYC.org.
Nearly every New Yorker has an opinion about where to find the best food. Of course, this being New York, it's unlikely we can all agree on anything, especially when the topic up for debate is where to find the best quintessential city foods like pizza, hamburgers, bagels, more recently, ramen. Here to help us sort things out are Adam Platt, food critic for New York Magazine, and Alan Sitzma, editor of that publication's Grub Street blog. I'm very pleased to welcome them to our show today. Hi.
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 And we invite our listeners to join the conversation. Where do you go for the best pizza, hot dog, hamburger, or ramen? What do you use as criteria for judging these things? You can give us a call at 212-433-9692 or write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. Before we get started, do you two think it's likely we're actually going to come to a consensus, especially about something like a burger, by the end of this segment?
I'd say probably not.
I think it's unlikely.
It's part of the sport in New York is endless debate on these weighty topics. So we'll see what happens.
Well, Adam, what criteria do you use when you're judging a burger?
A burger? Well, I'm on record as not being a burger lunatic. I love burgers. I've often told people I've never had a bad burger, although that's not true anymore.
Ooh.
I know.
Lucky.
I know. So anyway, these days...
You've never been to McDonald's?
Yeah, they're bad. I know, they're bad. Actually, well, never mind. These days, I've since come around to that. Yeah, I am sort of a burger snob, and you judge them on all sorts of ways these days. In this sort of hyper-burger-attuned world, you judge them on the famous burger-to-bun ratio. Right, Alan?
I think so.
You know, some people like a small burger to bun ratio, I've always thought that it used to be that if there was like at the corner bistro, say, in West Village, was famous as the greatest burger in town, I thought largely because it was just huge, right? There's this massive bowling ball.
And I thought it was location as well.
Could have been.
It was where food writers tended to live in those days.
Could have been. I mean, I never really liked it. I thought it was too big. Anyway, you want a smaller, little smaller beef, a little more high quality beef, nice little crunch on the exterior, soft bun. If you talk to burger lunatics, they obsess about the bun.
Would you want it also to have a lot of fat in it, be juicy?
It's got to have fat in it. Got to leave that pleasant slick down the back of your tongue.
The crumble of the grind, is that something that you look for?
The crumble of the grind.
Do you have any other criteria, Alan?
I think that Adam's criteria is a lot more sophisticated than mine. The way I think about these things, because you're going out, you're eating all of these foods all of the time, is if it's been a couple months since I've had a great burger, which one do I find myself craving? And that's the one that I know has all of these attributes that I want from it.
Well, we have different criteria depending on where we're going. If we're going to a roadside diner, we're not expecting the same sort of thing we are when we go to some fancy restaurant that just happens to also feature burgers.
I think that's true, but I also think with a food like a burger, if you're spending $25 for it or $10 for it, there are certain commonalities and elements that are going to come together and make you love them.
So where do you go if you're just craving the best burger you can have and you can go anywhere?
Well, there are two places. With burgers, there are really two schools. There's the everyday burger, the place that you can just go, drop in, have one. And then there's the chef burger, which one has a kitchen carefully considered and really constructed and made into a dish. So for the first category, I am a devotee of J.G. Melon's on the Upper East Side. I tell everyone that it remains my favorite. Just no frills, no nonsense. You don't have to worry about the beef blend. You don't have to worry about the bun, the cheese, whatever. It's just a great burger, and that's what you're getting.
And the other burger?
Okay. Right.
Oh. What?
What about you, Adam?
What's my just straightforward go-to burger?
Absolutely.
J.G. Melon's is okay.
Okay.
It's okay.
I was just there with a first-timer this weekend, and yeah, I have another convert.
I haven't been there for 20 years. It's okay. I don't know.
It's improved over the last 20 years.
I'm sure. No. Okay. Anyway, proximity for me is... First of all, burgers are not something that I eat all the time because I'm always stuffing myself with other kinds of foods, so I'm trying to conserve calories. So not conserve them, but just not waste them on burgers, except unless I'm in a restaurant that features the burgers. But so proximity, if I just want an everyday burger, I don't know if Umami Burger would characterize as an everyday burger. Would that be everyday for you?
I think it's the everyday version of a chef burger.
It's the everyday version of a chef burger. It's also
that's in Greenwich Village.
Umami Burger is this chain. It's a chain now, but it's an LA burger, and it's sort of the epitome of this sort of this burger crazed universe that we live in. It's this anyway. They have different kinds of burgers. Some of them are very fancy and chefed up. Some of them are quite simple, different designs. The buns are soft and sweet. Basically, though, I live around the corner from there, and I can go there at lunch if I want. My daughters like it. So that would be my go-to sort of daily burger.
Well, that's a chain, and we've seen some other chains as well, like Shake Shack has become incredibly popular, Five Guys. It's been my experience that just because they're chains, it's not like McDonald's or Wendy's or Burger King where you can expect the exact same burger wherever you go. There are better Shake Shacks and not such great Shake Shacks.
Yeah, Shake Shack
and I don't know why that would be.
Because there are too many Shake Shacks these days.
But in the end, they're using the same formula.
That's true. But, you know, and also the great Shake Shack is the one in Madison Square Park. And that the trouble with that one is that there's always a line, a five-hour line there. So you don't – I used to go there when it opened, but I haven't been there in a long time.
Well, what about what you were mentioning earlier, the variations? Right now, one of my producers recently had a pastrami burger with a pretzel bread bun. He says it wasn't bad, but a purist might object. And then there are all these regional variations on the burger. Some Californians insist on avocado on their burgers. It's delicious, but it's not what I associate with a burger.
The regional variations, I think it's interesting when you see it unify, when there's an understanding of, okay, this thing, even though it started in another part of the country, has now come to define what we expect
in
our burger.
Did burgers start in New York? Do we know?
No,
the idea of
that's a whole
ground
other
meat
radio
patty.
Show. That's a whole, we can go on for that. Possibly, actually, but I'm not a burger expert, so I couldn't expound.
Everyone's looking at me.
I think it's really a California phenomenon. I mean, somebody's going to call in and say no, but California is where the burger reached its fruition and where the sort of the whole drive-through culture. And that would be what I would say. Mm-hmm. But it probably started in New York, Philly, someplace like that.
As a mass product, it seems California.
I guess my question was: are you purists?
Yes, sort of.
Not necessarily.
What's the point of all these regional burgers? I mean, it's a burger is a burger is a burger is a burger.
Yes, in the end, it should be good beef.
Yes.
You say not too large a patty.
No.
But a roundish patty. So there's a certain amount of, I guess. Like medium rare?
Yeah, so you're turning us into burger snobs, I guess. Yeah, the bun is key. It's got to be soft. I think we both agree on our favorite new chef burger. Why don't you talk about that one?
I think that's true. I think that right now there's a bar called the Nomad Bar, which is a separate kind of new pub area from the same guys who do 11 Madison Park. They run the restaurant in the Nomad Hotel, and they have a burger that they have obviously pored over and spent so much time thinking about every single component that could
months
make.
And months and months.
They don't even ask you how it's cooked.
How much?
You get it the way they want you to get it.
How much does it cost?
$17, I believe, but without French fries.
But that's still less expensive than 21 used to have the 21 burger, and it was very lean meat, and I always wondered why they were charging $21 for
I think right now the two kings are the Black Label, and I would say that the Nomad Burger is slowly catching up to
it. Is the Black Label still that good? That's way too expensive.
How much does that cost?
$50.
No, it's 28. It's 28.
Alex in Brooklyn, you have your own idea?
Yes, I do. I have one thing to say first, though, which is these staple foods and our judgment of them is all about expectation. You'll never find the best slice of pizza because every time you go to that place that your friend told you is the best slice of pizza, your expectations are so high and you just cannot be met. But my favorite place for a burger is a place in Bushwick called the Northeast Kingdom. They make burgers from meat raised by a farmer in upstate New York, a farm by the name of Clawhammer Farm. And they're great burgers, inexpensive, come with fries, no frills, just really good.
Okay. Well, actually, there are burgers in every borough that people will swear by.
Yeah, every block.
Yes. There was a wonderful New Yorker cartoon many years ago that had a string of pizza parlors on the same block. And the first one said, the one on the left said, best pizza in the world. And then the next one, the one in the middle, said, best pizza in the universe. And the last one said, best pizza on this block. Anyway, do you consider veggie burgers burgers? What about turkey burgers? Are they really just chopped turkey patties?
I don't think they come into the consideration of the best burger conversation. I think when you say best burger, you're talking about a beef burger.
I'll tell you this about turkey burger. If you can make a turkey burger taste really good, then you're doing something right. So,
and then cheese. Do you put cheese on your burgers?
Always.
Yes.
Let's move on to another very controversial food that wasn't always controversial, and that's bagels. There was a time when bagels were smaller, crustier, and not as puffy as they are today. There are still some purists who are searching for those old-style bagels. Are there any good ones around, or do you like the new puffy style?
Alan?
Well, the ones that I like are the newest non-puffy style, actually. I think I should preface this by saying that I grew up in the Midwest, so the idea of an authentic New York bagel is something that exists as an ideal for me, but not something that I grew up with. But for me, there's a new shop on Elizabeth Street called Black Seed Bagels, which is sort of doing an older style. They're smaller, they're crustier, they bake them in a wood-fired oven. Every day, all day. It's right behind the stand where you buy them.
They don't use sugar. They use honey.
Honey water, Montreal honey style.
Water. Well, some people swear by the Montreal approach.
Well, this is the Montreal.
This approach is sort of a half Montreal approach. And for me, I really like it because it's not one of these big, doughy gut bombs. It's something smaller. It's something a little bit more manageable.
Now, why do you think they've gotten so big and doughy? I can't finish them.
Everything that comes to New York gets big and doughy. The lasagna, the pizza, any food that moves here becomes large and saturated with sugar.
But we invented the bagel to some degree. I know it's an adaptation of a European thing, but the classic bagel is a New York product, isn't it?
Well, I think the bagel, as sort of Americans have come to know, it is a New York product. I personally don't have – I'm not going to sort of start a big bagel debate. I don't mind the big gut bomb. I don't mind as long as it's fresh baked. I don't mind it. You get up on Saturday morning, you take your kids. It's a place called Bob's Bagels around the corner. It's on University Place where we live in the Village. Fresh baked. It's just this steamy, sweet, comforting quality. I got nothing wrong with it. I like Black Seed too, but I went to Black Seed the other day and they were all out. All they had was sort of whole wheat bagels with sort of it was a little too precious for me.
Well, that's maybe too happened. Popular.
I know. That's what happens if they're handmade. They're not mass-produced.
It's hipster bagels. Sorry.
Do you like everything bagels, or do you want your bagel to be plain and not fight with the thing that you're putting inside, the cream cheese and the lox?
I don't have much of a preference. I can do an everything bagel or a garlic bagel or a salt bagel, I guess. That doesn't bother me necessarily, but I have to be in the mood for it. I think if I'm just looking for a bagel, sesame bagels are the best.
We have a caller who has a favorite bagel place. Bob from Rego Park, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Leonard, how are you today? You know, I used to bake bagels. The best bagel, of course, is thrown in boiling water for a minute and then toasted. And I was quite surprised. I was in Manhattan, even though I live in Queens, around the Museum of Modern Art, about a block away, there's a hot and crusty. I thought it was fabulous because it was whole grain, whole wheat. It was big, crusty on the outside, juicy on the inside. It was absolutely fantastic.
Do you know about this place?
No. Sounds fresh baked. No, well, isn't hot and crusty a chain?
Hot and crusty is a chain. Do you think that this is a special hot and crusty, or do you think they all are like that?
Well, I would say the hot and crusty, which their other breads are very good for a chain. They're unbelievably fantastic, and I don't own any stock in the company.
Okay, well,
that's a good tip.
That's another thing. We are We could have talked about getting decent bread in New York, but that's a whole other show. My guests are Adam Platt, who's a food critic for New York Magazine, and Alan Sitzma, who's the editor of Grub Street, the blog for New York Magazine. We are talking about the best New York City hamburgers, hot dogs, pizza, ramen, bagels, and we'll take a little break and come back with some of the other things like hot dogs and pizza, whatever. We invite your calls, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We're talking about the best quintessential New York City foods with Alan Sitzma, the editor of Grub Street blog, and Adam Plant, food critic for New York Magazine. And we are inviting your calls to join in the conversation. Our number 212-433-9692. You can also write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. And listeners have been posting a long list of favorite pizza places, including the ones you'd expect, Roberta's in Bushwick, Grimaldi's in downtown, what is that, Dumbo, Old Homestead on that's around 14th Street on
Old
the west side.
Homestead.
Lombardi's, which claims to be the best ever, but not by my standards.
No.
Wits End in Rockaway Beach. You've heard of all these places. Are they all, do you think they're all equally good?
No.
Well, first of all, let's talk about pizza in another way. There's different styles of pizza. There's so-called New York-style pizza, which is, I guess, based on Neapolitan pizza.
Correct.
There's Roman pizza as well. Some people prefer that. Is New York pizza the best pizza?
Yes.
Really?
New York style, or is New York City the best place for pizza?
Well, that's another question. How much have you eaten elsewhere? There are people who swear by Chicago deep dish pizza, but then purists would say that that's really just a form of lasagna, not really pizza.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. What pizza... Pizza in New York, I think New York probably is the best pizza town in this country just because of the variety. You can get all kinds of different pizzas. But what the classic New York slice is, I guess it's Neapolitan, right? Although it's over time, it's become a little heavier than Neapolitan, a little more durable. You can eat it on the run. I think basically good New York pizza is really unadorned. And it's got this sort of sweet sauce to it. There's this sweetness and this sort of umami bite to the cheese. And you can get it in all sorts of different places.
It's interesting that in Naples, I went there earlier this year, you can't walk around with the pizza because the center is kind of soft. And people eat their pizza with a knife and fork, as did Bill de Blasio. He was ridiculed for doing that. That is the ideal. I don't know if it's necessarily the best. A lot of people like a really hard crust. That's more like a Roman pizza.
Alan, what's your favorite pizza?
My favorite pizza.
He lives in Brooklyn, by the way. So Brooklyn is the great pizza borough, obviously.
Well, there are some people who swear by Staten Island. And then there are some good pizzerias in the Bronx, I assume, in Queens as well. But who do you like in Brooklyn?
Totoro's? There are probably two. Sure, I'll tell you. They're both pretty well known. Lucali is... easily. I think it sort of treads the line between that Neapolitan artisanal and the New York style. But it's impossible to get in there. And Franny's is right up there. I know that's sort of a controversial pick among pizza enthusiasts, I think, just because their crust is very puffy, which I actually enjoy. It's nice and crispy, has nice, beautiful air bubbles in it, perfect sauce, really high quality ingredients. So I would say those are probably the two.
What do you think
places.
Of DeFara?
I think DeFara is great. I think that DeFara is one of those situations where the internet has changed what a DeFara is. You know, 20 years ago, there's this person, he's making these amazing pizzas, and unless you hear about it through word of mouth, you're never going to know that this really exists. So just even knowing that it's there is special, whereas now the information moves so quickly that if you hear there's this guy doing this awesome pizza out in Midwood, it's not hard to sort of go check it out and kind of recreate a lot of what this person is doing.
But also stand online for a long time. Well, and a listener left this comment on our show page saying, any real New Yorker would be crazy to share their favorite spots. Long lines are a true demise of any good eatery.
I don't know. You could say the opposite. These days, lines are, it's like in Tokyo, lines are a sign of success and happiness often when it comes to good things. I mean, DeFara, we should say, is a Dominic DeFara, who's this ancient pizza artisan. I mean, the classic New York pizza places like you know, sort of Patsy's. And those characters all began as Dominic DeFara, but he is still out there in Midwood, you know, growing his basil in empty old tomato cans and rolling things in a cloud of flour. And if you haven't actually gone there and seen it, you probably should, because you should stand in line. It is like the Smithsonian Museum of New York pizza.
Don't go hungry. It is a very frustrating experience sometimes to watch him practice his craft.
It takes years to do it. He rolls it out.
And then there are places like John's Pizza, which had great reputation, but is that pizza any good?
People who live near it love it, swear by it, think it's the best. We were just talking to other Grub Street editors this morning, and somebody mentioned John's.
Yeah, it's fine. It's like John's is what I was saying, the unadorned, sweet, fresh-baked New York pizza. Now, on the other hand, Lombardi's, last time I went to Lombardi's, it was pretty grim. It was pretty grim.
Although they have a sign out saying the world's greatest pizza.
I would dispute that.
Being the oldest is not necessarily a great claim to fame.
And it isn't really the oldest, because it's in a different location from the original Lombardi's. It's only the family name that's the same.
Right. The pizzeria is. They got bigger. I don't know. Yeah.
Nah.
That's not.
We're going to get some angry calls from the Lombardi's people.
Yeah.
My guests are Adam Platt, food critic for New York Magazine, Alan Sisma, who is the editor of Grub Street blog, and we're talking about some of the best places to find. Right now, I don't think we have cleared anything up.
No.
The quintessential New York foods. Our number, 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where our handle is at Leonard Lopate. We haven't been talking about burgers. Hot dogs. What about hot dogs?
What about hot dogs, Alan?
Well, do you swear by the places like Nathan's or Gray's Papaya?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Gray's is pretty good.
Gray's Papaya is arguably the quintessential New York meal. Arguably. The cheapest, most bang for the buck, most sort of old-fashioned little, you know, going to Gray's, you have two dogs, that weird, whatever that papaya extract is, they feed you.
You get that?
It all, of course, the whole thing costs, you know,
$3.
Whatever. You know, it's like riding the subway. It's the culinary subway. It's a fabulous institution. So I wouldn't argue against that.
I certainly can't say anything bad about Gray's. I think that, you know, it is. Everyone has those sorts of associations, because especially if you're from somewhere else, you move to New York, you see this thing called papaya, and everyone says they make good hot dogs, and you think there's no way.
I personally think Chicago is the hot dog capital, so I may get attacked for that, but I think it is, because there's the charcoal grill and the
salt.
No, you don't like
Chicago,
it?
They put, I mean, look, I like it, but that's
you're
a hot dog. That's a salad. That's a salad in a bun.
You don't put that salad stuff on
it. Who makes their own hot dogs? I know there are a couple of butcher shops that do around the city, but I would assume that they're all buying commercial hot dogs, aren't they?
Well, there was a story. Ed Levine is the person to talk to about this, about, you know, all the great hot dog places.
Let's call
use the same purveyor, and they all have their you know, different spice blends, they say, but it's, you know, Katz's is getting
there
the
is a
place.
Great hot. I mean, again, we talked about the hamburger at the Nomad Bar. The hot dog at the Nomad Bar is sick. In a good way, actually.
Well, but I would say this. The hot dog is excellent, and
Well, I have vague memories, because the cocktails are really good, too. But it's like this, I don't know what it costs, $80 or something.
Oh, my God.
No, it doesn't go that much.
Not really.
It costs whatever. But it's like the bun is toasted. I don't know where the actual dog itself comes from, but it's got this sort of you know, European snap to
well, wrapped in
I think,
bacon.
I think the it's best hot dog bacon. I ever had was in Paris. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
I would dispute
But
that.
Many years ago.
Well, anyway, this thing is wrapped in bacon. There's truffles on it, yes or no.
Truffle
and
celery.
Celeriac root. It's like, and the bun is, I'm sure it's baked by elves. It's been buttered. It's been toasted. It is good. They serve it on this butcher board. They serve it with that kind of care that you use to, you know, serve a fancy souffle.
But you know where they started doing that hot dog was at PDT, where they have, this is a speakeasy bar in the back of Crift Dogs, that started doing chef hot dogs. And the Hum Dog, this dog that was now at the Nomad, started there. Yeah. And they are doing, you know, they wrap it in bacon, they fry it, and then the chefs have, you know, Wiley Dufresne has toppings. So you order the Wiley dog and David Chang, and you order the Chang dog.
They're good. They're good. The bun is key for the hot dog. The bun, nothing messes up a hot dog like a stale bun. If it's fresh, yes.
There's been a big debate over whether a hot dog is a sandwich or not. Do you think it is?
Who cares?
Let's take a call. Hi, Joel from Pagoda, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for having me. Quick question for your guests. I had a first date with a lovely young woman who's just arrived from Copenhagen, and she'd like a quintessential New York pizza experience. And I just heard that you said Lombardi's was underwhelming last time you were there, and I'm wondering what other New York pizza experiences you might recommend.
If you're talking about the whole experience, then I would say John's on Bleecker. I think that you're going to get some New York atmosphere. You're going to get an above-par pizza. I think it's going to be a different experience. You can't go someplace like Roberta's.
She's from Copenhagen. It's a little grubby. I don't know.
That's fine.
Can you just go anywhere? Can you go to Bushwick, to a place like Roberta's, or can you go to Flatbush, to Franny's?
Yes.
I can go anywhere, absolutely. We could drive or cab or
of course, wherever. If you take it to Franny's, which is a wonderful pizza, I think, you're not really getting the quintessential New York pizza experience.
I think you're getting the best pizza.
I think you take her to Franny's, and then you take her to one more place after that.
You go high-low?
We can all eat two pizzas in one night. We're New Yorkers, after all.
The Franny's pizzas are small. You can split it.
Take her to Franny's, but then what's another Brooklyn? What's one other place near there?
Lucali, but you have to like know someone or be willing to wait in line for like 3 hours. What you do, you put your name in at Lucali, and you go have dinner at Franny's.
There you go.
And then you go back to Lucali and your table's ready.
There it is.
Okay, Joel?
That sounds great. Thanks, everyone, for your recommendations.
Okay, we have somebody from Bay Ridge right now, Brandt. Hi, but you used to be in Chicago and a butcher?
Yeah, I moved to New York from Chicago 5 years ago. And, you know, maybe it's because I'm coming from Chicago, but I really don't think New York has a good hot dog. The Cured Brooklyn and the Meat Hook, they make their own hot dogs, and those are good if you do want to buy your own New York hot dog. But in terms of restaurants, I really don't think any of them are good. There is actually a place out here in Bay Ridge called the Lockyard, and they do some good hot dogs. But I really think all of the hot dogs at Chris, and I don't think they're any good. I think just the fact that you wrap your hot dog in bacon and put some green salsa on it or something doesn't make it a good hot dog. The actual hot dog, the sausage, has to be good.
Yeah, well, the Brooklyn Cured does make wonderful hot dogs, and you can always wrap it in bacon. I want to get to more calls, but Adam, you recently wrote about ramen. Has ramen become a quintessential New York food?
I don't know if it's quintessential. I think it's you can't call ramen a quintessential New York food because it's not. It's a quintessential Japanese food. But ramen is, if you're going to pick one or two dishes that it sort of occupies sort of the brain bandwidth, the sort of people obsess over, the sort of the new generation of adventurous, educated New York diners, you'd have to say ramen. I mean, ramen places are popping up, not just all over New York, but all over the country.
And listeners have been recommending places. I'd like your take on them. Naruto Ramen on 3rd Avenue, Momofuku, also in the East Village, Chuko in Prospect Heights, Toto Ramen in Hell's Kitchen.
I think Toto Ramen in Hell's Kitchen is fabulous. They have this chicken broth. I think the Momofuku Ramen is okay, although I love that restaurant. I think the ramen is just okay. What do you think, Alan?
I think that the problem with almost all of these places is if you go, there's going to be a 3-hour wait for a bowl of noodles.
With ramen, that really is part of the fun. I mean, if you go to the Tokyo place, like ramen, it's the craze is part of the fun. Ippudo is a great ramen place. It's a Tokyo chain that's come here. You wait is part of the fun. You don't want to do it all the time. But Toto Ramen in Hell's Kitchen, I go with my younger daughter who's a ramen freak, and it's fun to wait, and then you go in.
One of the big problems is it's often really salty.
Of course, it's salty.
All of these foods are really salty.
Salty and fatty. That's why we love them. What's our favorite ramen
place? That's the thing. I think we agree on the best ramen right now,
yes,
and there's never a wait there.
No.
And that's Ivan Ramen in the East Village, or on the Lower East Side, I guess. It's on Clinton Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Ivan Orkin, who is from Long Island, who lived in Tokyo, started a ramen empire there, moved back.
Classic chef lunatic, right? Went to Tokyo to learn ramen, learned it, and also being an outsider puts this outsider twist on it that Japanese ramen chefs would never do.
Yes. We've been getting lots of calls from listeners. There are Hoboken Bagel is recommended by somebody from Hoboken. There's Bagel Hole on 7th Avenue in Park Slope, which I used to think was a great bagel place. There is Absolute Bagels on Broadway. So I guess to some degree, this is also a matter of what kind of bagel appeals to you.
I think it's a matter of...
Can there be a best bagel?
I think
can there be a best pizza?
Yeah. I think in New York it's a matter of taste and also location. Like if it's near you, you go there a lot, it's hard to dispute that that's your favorite bagel. I wouldn't argue with anybody who goes to those places all the time.
You know, we have run out of time, and there are so many people have been calling in and writing in to share their picks for the best this, that, and the other thing. And we would hope that you would just write them into our show page at WNYC.org. We're going to tabulate the results, and we probably will have you guys back sometime to talk about what our listeners think are the best places. Is that okay with you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
And thank you both so much for being on our show, Adam Platt and Alan Sitzma, both of New York Magazine, different parts of New York Magazine. It's been a pleasure having you here.
Thank you. It's been fun.